This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Zinc Metals. For the best customized, handcrafted, fine jewelry, you're going to want to check out zincmetals.com. Mother's Day is upon us, and if you want to get your mother, wife, or loved one a beautiful piece of custom jewelry, you're going to want to check out zincmetals.com. They are also on Instagram, at zincmetals, so check them out one more time, zincmetals.com. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by All Black Hockey Sticks. All Black Hockey Sticks is the 100% carbon fiber, 440-gram All Black Hockey Stick. You may reach out to them at allblackhockeysticks.com, type in the referral box, Hoosier Hockey Live, and you'll be entered to win a prize at the end of the month via Hoosier Hockey Live. You may also reach out to them by phone. Their number is 831-68-STICK. Again, that's 831-68-STICK. AllBlackHockeySticks.com. Again, promo code Hoosier Hockey Live. This episode of Hoosier Hockey Live is also brought to you by Sick Hockey. Sick Hockey is a Indiana company that has the sickest threads for the hockey lifestyle. Go to SickHockey.com and you may use promo code Hoosier for 20% off your entire order. Again, that's SickHockey.com. They've got t-shirts, hats, beanies, beer koozies, and other products there that you guys will like. Again, that's SickHockey.com, promo code Hoosier. This episode of the podcast is also brought to you by JustHockeyJerseys.com. Quality jerseys, custom artwork, unbeatable prices. If all those things sound awesome to you, go to JustHockeyJerseys.com. It's tournament season for beer leaguers, and if you guys want to have the sickest jerseys and socks at the tournament, you're going to want to go to JustHockeyJerseys.com. They've got the best prices, the best artwork, and I've been on a couple teams that have these jerseys, and they look fantastic. One more time, JustHockeyJerseys.com. Let's see those jerseys, boys. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hoosier Hockey Live, episode 27, featuring Woody Hudson. Tonight we were able to have him on the Facebook page and have about a 45-minute conversation with him. I apologize in advance, the audio is a little bit echoey. Woody was unable to locate some headphones, so bear with us on this. It's a great interview, and Woody knocked it out of the park. So enjoy the interview, and here is Woody Hudson.
Welcome to Hoosier Hockey Live,
episode 27.
Featuring
the 26-year-old Greece,
New York
native.
He is a forward
for the Indy Fuel.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Woody Hudson.
Thanks, man, for being with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Right on.
So where
are you posted up this summer?
Right now, I'm in Hudson, Mass. I work out here. Just killed that season.
Yeah.
So how's the body feeling?
It's fine, actually. I wish it was a little bit more beaten up, because it was a little bit heartbreaking watching all that playoff video. ended so shortly, but it's fine, and I feel great.
Very good.
So any big plans for the summer?
A boating guy,
golfing?
I'm not a boating guy, I'm not a golf guy. Right now I'm working, so at the end of the summer, I've just joined the Screen Actors Guild, so I'm going to be doing some, background work and maybe some auditioning at the end of the summer, just to see what it's about.
Okay.
I'm playing in New York, so I'll be doing that.
Yeah, it's a perfect spot to do it.
Yeah.
Right on, man.
So let me get this first answer out of the way.
All right.
Who's Your Hockey Live, episode 27, is brought to you by Zinc Metals. Zinc Metals is a company here in Indianapolis.
They are known for customized, handcrafted fine jewelry.
With Mother's Day coming up,
it's a perfect time to visit.
Zincmetals.com.
They're also on Instagram.
Zinc Metals.
Thanks to Rebecca Zinc for supporting Hoosier Hockey Live.
One more time.
Zincmetals.com.
Wood.
Let's take this thing back to the beginning.
You played in two markets in the USHL.
You played for Indy and Chicago.
Tell us a little bit about that junior experience.
So, when I got to Indy, I wasn't really sure what to expect. Because it was the first league where like I knew for sure that I was going to fight. So I was really unsure how I was going to mix in with players after prep school. Because after prep school, I was too old for the draft, really. I was kind of aged out of the OHL kind of deal. And the first person I see when I walked in the locker room in Indiana was actually Sean Corrali. And that's the type of player you're kind of going to the locker room with.
And I mean, obviously I didn't know you'd be the star he is now,
but that's intimidating. But it really kind of drove me early because I knew that I was in a locker room filled with capable and amazing players, and I was excited to see the locker rooms I will be a part of. So it was awesome.
Very good.
Now your first year in Indiana.
The ice qualified for the Clark Cup playoffs. Tell us about playoff hockey at a young age and how that helped your development and career.
Yeah, it was crazy. We had guys MFing people off the draw, like throwing blows. Like you had coaches snapping on each other. Coaches getting thrown out of the game. Like. You're elbowing guys. Like you're in front of the net, and the goalie is slashing you, growing. Like it was awesome, and if you know what, like having that early just made me like always like I get upset when I don't make playoffs because I know how much better hockey is when you get there. So, I guess having that excitement towards playoffs, that's what the Clark did because I think our coach literally got thrown out. It was against Green Bay at home. That was after a series of brawls and jumpings, and it was awesome.
So was Brownie there?
No, he was there the following year,
okay.
I believe.
Okay, my second year.
So was Krug there?
Yeah, Adam Krug was there. Yeah, the second year.
Right on. So what's it like playing for Adam?
It was great. I mean, obviously he was excellent with like skills, drills and stuff. So whatever I needed to work on, like he was the guy that was there, early at the rink on the ice, helped me with that. And I mean, just a guy that loves the game and wanted to make sure everybody got better. And I think he's still doing it at Adrian. And everybody at Adrian says awesome things about him, and he's a great guy.
So in year two, you went to Chicago. Was that something of a surprise to you?
Or was that kind of something you knew was coming?
That was definitely a surprise. I remember I was the captain at that time in Indy, and I remember getting the call at like maybe 2-3 in the morning. I was just like I didn't know what to say. That was my first trade. And at that point I thought that Indy was my city. I wasn't gonna play juniors anywhere else. I had been captain there for two seasons pretty much, and it was tough. But I guess I'm glad I got it early in my career because I got that sort of aspect of professionalism in me, you know, just the reality of playing in a business, really.
Sure.
Now, when you went to Chicago,
was the system way different from Indianapolis? I think, I don't think the systems were way different. I think we had just had a different cast of players in Chicago. I think in Indy, it was just a younger class. It was a younger team. And whereas in Chicago, it was all, you know, second-year guys and guys that were getting ready to go, ready for college.
Right.
For college, like high-end D1 Hof college or, you know, the NHL, like Jacob Slavin was on the team. So one team was developing and the other team was kind of at the end of that spectrum where they're ready. So
sure.
Now talk about playing with a guy like Jacob Slavin
and seeing him now.
Oh, my man. In practice, man, I would try to – every time I saw Slaves, like, I kid you not, like, if it was, like, a one-on-one, like, and I knew I was going against him, I knew I was going the hardest, the fastest, and then if I beat him, the off chance I beat him, he would have to do something spectacular to beat me. And then everyone – and when he did beat me, which was, like, more times than not, like, man, like, some of the acrobatics and skating – ability that guy demonstrated was unparalleled. Like sometimes our coach would be like, hey, so Slaves, if you go full ice slap shot bar down, we won't do sprints. And then Slaves like would literally just push a puck out like the middle, like into the slot nonchalantly and just bang one bar down.
What?
Without even like paying attention, and we'd just be like, dude, why are you still here? Like, what are you? But you won. Like, stop. Put down the controller. Like, you won.
That's unreal.
That's unreal.
Oh, man. Now, when did you commit to St. Lawrence?
The beginning of my second season, I think. I think Chris Mayotte he already committed, Drew Smolcinski at the time, and he had been at a couple games, and we established a rapport, and I ended up committing to St. Lawrence pretty early in that second season, which I was excited about because you get nervous, you know. I decommitted from like so many schools, and having somewhere like be like, all right, well, I'm for sure going here early in the season kind of gives you confidence to make sure you're just playing well.
Okay.
Now,
did that change your play
in juniors?
Knowing you were going somewhere?
No, because at that point I was. Pretty much playing to make sure that I was ready. I didn't want to go somewhere where I was just going to sit. Like, I thought I made, like, real growth in juniors, and whereas, like, not being able to play, like, not just the physical role, but being able to score and create. So I wanted to put myself in the best, like, situation to be able to do that. Like, as soon as I got to school, like, because I didn't want it to be a question of ability when I got there. Like, if it's, like, veteranship or whatever, like, that's fine, but...
Yeah.
Right on.
Well, guys, a couple comments. I understand.
I'm echoing.
And I don't like pointing the finger.
But no, I'm just kidding. Woody doesn't have headphones.
So that's why I'm echoing.
I'm glad you can hear him.
He is crystal clear on my end. So bear with me. This episode of Hoosier Hockey is brought to you by Sick Hockey. Sick Hockey.com. Promo code Hoosier.
It's totally sick.
20% off.
The entire order.
One more time.
Sickhockey.com.
It is.
So Woody, 4 years to St. Lawrence.
What did you study
while you were there?
So I started in econ. I ended up switching to be a history minor and a history major and a sports studies minor. Yeah.
Did you get the paper?
What?
Did you get the paper?
Yeah, I got the paper, absolutely.
Very good.
Grind for that paper. You know, I was in research. My senior week was not a senior week. It was a 70-page historical fiction piece that I had to create, and it was miserable, but it was...
That just sounds horrible.
Yeah, but I learned a lot, and it was a perfect major, I think, for me. Like, I don't think... just in terms of what I'm interested in.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So tell us about university life. What did you boys do outside of class and hockey?
Well, I think for a lot of guys on the team, on St. Lawrence, like, it was, they kind of stayed in, like, the hockey team clique, which, I kind of did and didn't. Just because I was actually dating a girl from the area, so I would go do something, like, I would go kayaking down the river, I'd go skiing, or I would go, like, help out on a local, it's a North Country, so you do North Country things. Like, I was house sitting for a couple farmers, like, I was watching horses, I was getting eggs out of chicken coops. Like, that's what I was doing.
Did you have a cowboy hat?
Oh, I mean, Old Town Road situation, for real. And, you know, I also had a part-time job, you know, at a burrito shack. I think for a lot of guys, it was, hang out at the hockey house and, like, have a couple beers. Try to get the soccer girls over, and then work out and train. Whereas, I mean, for the most part, I was with my teammates for, like, you know, when we're doing homework or cafeteria, like, eating or, like, training. But I saw some weird stuff in the North Country. I saw some stuff. I learned a lot from. I saw a cougar almost maul a small tiny. Tiny woman in the middle of, oh my gosh, and it was a real trailer park boy situation when it happened. It was crazy.
So how did she get away?
So we were walking out of the dorms. It was cold out, but there was no snow, and, like, all you saw was this thing moving towards this girl. Like, I don't know what she was doing, but she was taking way too long to get into her car. And then all of a sudden, you see this big, like, rusty Chevy truck with, like, those big, I don't know what you call them, but they shoot out black smoke. They're, like, they're not part of trucks, but people do it to make it look like a real tractor trailer. But anyway, zooms out of nowhere, like, out of the woods, and, like literally comes to a complete stop right before the girl in the car, and she goes, you gotta get out of here, and you just see this freaking cougar sprint right back into the woods. You gotta get out of here, like, there's cougars everywhere.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't intervene.
No, I mean, I don't know what I would have done in that situation. I just would have known that, like, if I had, like, it would have been way too late. Way too late. I was carrying scraps to health services.
Man.
That's unreal.
So I gotta bring one up. I know it's
touchy. Oh,
okay. All right, man.
You played three seasons
under Greg Carvel.
Yeah.
Just kind of talk about that relationship. The good, the bad, the ugly.
And maybe some things that he brought to your game.
And some things you're glad he didn't.
Yeah. First of all, you know, Greg, Coach Carvel is obviously he's a great coach. I mean, it's not touchy because he's not a great coach for me. what he did for St. Lawrence when he got there, like, just changed the culture, reinvigorated the relationship between faculty and the players, really. Uh-huh. And kind of, he's got us able to sit down and have conversations with teachers that players weren't able to have before he got there. In that sort of way, coach was great. And definitely X and O was, like, absolutely phenomenal. Ability to break down film and teams. Like, our success was predicated to our ability to play, like, do exactly what he said. And when we did it, we dominated teams. And when we didn't, we didn't win. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it went. And to have tremendous respect for Carvey in that way. My only frustration was him leaving, obviously. And as a junior going to his senior year, how can you not be frustrated? You have someone there with you for 3 years, and you look up to and respect, leaves in your senior year. And, you know, you can't help but feel some kind of way about it. And you look at your fellow classmates, the guys that he brought in at the same time, and trained and really developed and got them to the point where we were ready to really compete in our senior years and our last season at St. Lawrence and represent it at Wright. It was a little bit heartbreaking, but he's a great coach, and it was just unfortunate that St. Lawrence didn't provide him with what was necessary for him to continue to be successful there.
Right on.
Transition to Mark Norris.
How did that affect
the room?
Did everyone buy in?
Yeah, I don't think it wasn't a question of everybody not buying in. It was, you go for one guy, and you know what you're going to get, and you've had this guy for 3 years. And then that guy has brought in two other classes of players that wanted to play for that one guy. I think that's a good situation for any coaches to step into and be successful, especially in the ECAC where teams are – it's the toughest conference in college hockey. There isn't any team where I've been – played when I was in college, where even when we played hockey, East teams are – it was like, oh, well, this team is this much better than us. It's like, no, like, we can smack them. But that's the way the ECAC is. And so if you're going to be competitive, you have to make sure that the players that you bring in want to play for the but all the players, I would say, they did buy in. It was just the way they were told to do things was a different way than Carvey would do it. Or the times that Carvey would say or do something would just be a different way than, and players pick up on that. Players respond to different people differently. And obviously, knowing a coach for 3 years, you know, has an effect on that.
Right on.
I want to transition
from the end of your senior season to your pro day.
Now, walk us through how you signed.
I was really nervous because I hadn't been playing the last 2 years of my college career. I was still playing, like, I was putting up points, but I didn't really know if I could play at the next level. I got a call from Jamie Russell in Worcester, and he said that you know, I could play at that level, and Worcester didn't have a team that year, but with the year after that, the following season, and he contacted Bernie and Bernie John and Indy, and they were nice enough to give me a couple games in Indiana, and you know, that experience was awesome because, you know, I found that not only did I could play at this level, but I was a better and more effective player at the level. So
now you played 11 games
in 2017.
Yep.
Talk about that homecoming, man.
Oh my goodness! First of all, you know, people think that, like, I don't know what people think, but every time I come to Indiana, I feel like people, like my teammates, think I expect like a huge I really don't. Like, some, like, my first time back there, I honestly thought Indy forgot about me. I was like, what? But people that were there when I was, you know, in my rookie season, you know, I saw my jersey, my rookie season jersey. I saw some T-shirts. I saw pictures I hadn't seen since I was, like, 19 years old, and that was amazing.
Right.
It was awesome. It was a confidence injector, you know?
Sure.
And anyone who didn't know, after that first shift,
I remember the first shift.
You lay a hit right inside the blue line
by the opposing team's bench.
And that place went nuts.
Oh, man.
Do you remember that?
I remember that because in college, I would have gotten a penalty for that. And that was one of the reasons why I didn't play. Is because every game I would hit a guy too hard and I'd be in the box for like a boarding major or a hit from behind or an endangering a player, like.
Yeah.
But Bernie was like, "Yeah, you don't have to worry about these guys. They can take it."
Sure. Yeah, I remember you were buzzing around, knocking people down.
Yeah.
People love that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Sure.
Now
2017-2018. You signed with the Railers.
First pro year.
Talk about
that transition
and the excitement for a first full year.
I was excited just because I knew that. Because I played those 11 games in Indy, like, I knew what I could do and what I needed to improve upon. And again, I wanted to kind of develop a consistent, you know, play style that, like, would cause me to, one, like, get to the next level. And I wanted to see how hard I could push myself. And I think I did a pretty good job my first year. And Worcester was not a good city. You know, the fans are great. It was a lot of fun.
Very good.
A little over halfway through this season,
you returned to Indy.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us through this process and being back
for the third time.
I mean, if you're gonna get traded somewhere, I mean, you gotta get traded somewhere that you know is you can call home. So it was. Definitely a good luck of the draw, because you know this is a business, and I could have been sent anywhere.
Now, did they know
kind of the history?
I think it was probably one of the components that kind of made it easiest. So it wasn't bad that it wasn't a bad thing that I had ties to Indy at all.
Were you for future considerations?
Then they got Robert Powers.
Okay.
Robert Powers.
Right on.
Yeah.
Very good.
So what's your favorite thing about playing hockey?
My favorite thing about the Coliseum. I like the rink. The fans are always dope. I like St. Elmo's. I try to go to St. Elmo's like once every 2 weeks, you know, balling on a budget. But and the living situation that the Fuel provides is second to none, and I had a nice setup. I like to cook, so the spread they had there was awesome. You get home after practice around.
Did you guys cook?
I cooked. Me and my roommate cooked.
Who's your roommate?
Gordon Dyfel. I love that dude. Yeah, I love that dude too.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's the best. And so I got lucky there too, because you never know. Like, you could have some absolute squid as a roommate, and I got Gordy, who's an absolute beauty, and he knows what the X5 is. So sure. He's a great
sure.
guy. Yeah.
Sure.
What's your least favorite thing about Indianapolis?
Oh, the potholes on Binford. And just because, like, you don't even have to miss the pothole. Like, you can drive around the pothole, but you also have to be responsible for other people swerving around those giant craters. And it's ridiculous. Like, every morning you see people just in the median just bundled because half of their car was underneath the surface while the other half was trying to go forward.
Indianapolis is the only city. Where you can get pulled over for driving straight as an arrow.
Because they know you're probably drunk.
Whereas normal people would be swerving through potholes.
Right.
That's just the weirdest thing.
Insane.
38th Street is a joke.
God.
So we covered the roommate. Did you have any other roommate?
Not in Indy, no.
Okay. Let's see, my favorite road rink
wasn't while I was in Indy, but it was Newfoundland.
Okay.
Yeah, the Growlers.
Alright.
Why did you like that rink? I like the rink because I mean, I met Glenn Big Baby Davis there before a game, and then also Green Street, which is like the whole street of bars that are like right the ring. And then you like after the games, like the fans will just get in your face and start chirping, and it's all in fun, and they're great people out there. And it's like we get to be on a plane, which you don't really get to do that often.
Yeah.
In the CHL.
Very good.
So since you've been a pro, who's the most fun guy you've ever played with?
Not Gordy, for sure. Gordon Dyfel, for sure.
Right on.
Yeah.
Who's the most skilled guy you've ever played with?
Of all time or just in the ECHL?
Just in the coast.
Let's see. I'm not sure. I mean, everybody, like, the thing about the coach is everybody's pretty skilled. whenever I think of most skilled, the first person I always think about is Daniil Tarasov, which is why I'm drawing blanks right now. This is like, when I think most skilled, I compare it to him. Just seeing all the work that he put in when I was in Indiana. So, like, I'm thinking about someone that is, like, comparable to that, and I'm just like,
Maybe someone you played against.
There's a guy. What's his name? There was a forward on Newfoundland that was pretty skilled. I don't remember his name. I try not to remember the names because then you're super aware of them on the ice, and then you're super aware you attack them differently. And I like the hidden pin method, so if I'm worried about getting dangled sometimes, that's not ideal.
That is true.
Yeah.
But on Indy, I thought Welly was pretty skilled. Brett was pretty skilled. Okay. He's a skilled guy. Just the way he could place pucks and make any pass, and then in practice, you can see he can place pucks wherever he wants on any goalie. So,
sure.
Pretty skilled.
Sure. What's the biggest difference between college and pro?
College is all run and gun. You're going full speed every shift. You're finishing every check. You're getting pucks in deep. You're like cycling. Pro is once you have the puck, you're trying to make a play, and you're not. There's no rush. Like there's no rush. There's an urgency to score, but because you're playing with so many high end players, like they're getting in the scoring zones immediately, and everything's quicker. So you have time to make plays. On the net, up the ice, no one's like going at you like a million miles an hour, but that's because everybody has the skill enough to stop a play across ice. If you chip it in, you have D that can literally corral a puck and turn and attack you up zone and expose you. So rushing in isn't ideal. Yeah, that's how you get exposed in pro. And it's the longer games too, right? So you're playing with bigger guys. So you try to do that sprints around method, you're going to be gassed after the first period in a 10 forward lineup.
Sure. Was it Zach O'Brien?
I don't think so.
Brady Ferguson?
Maybe.
Fergie's pretty nasty.
Fergie sounds, yeah, once you said Fergie, because I feel like we were chirping him, calling him Fergie. that sounds familiar. Fergie sounds familiar.
Yeah. What do you think
again, it's a business, but Bernie obviously has done a lot for the fuel. Obviously he had a big part of me being part of the fuel at all, so I'm very thankful for him, everything he did, and he was a player's coach too, like super approachable, like a lot of coaches aren't approachable, and a lot of coaches aren't honest either, and Bernie was a straight up guy, who loved the game of hockey, and wow, I feel like I'm talking to him as if he was dead. No, he was a great coach, and my first season there, he gave me confidence in those first 11 games, and he was like, "You're gonna play, be confident." And then when I got here, he said the same thing, and a lot of coaches wouldn't have done that. They would have been like, "Oh, we got you. We'll do whatever. You just got here." But Bernie was a straight up guy, and I know my teammates really appreciated what he did for us this year, too.
Sure.
Talk about Ryan McGinnis.
He was my neighbor in the apartment. he's a good guy, too. And he really cared about the team, too.
He was a big data guy. And used a lot of numbers, sabermetrics, video analytics. True.
Like he would send guys clips and video like shifts in the game during before and after games.
We've had a couple guys on.
Outside of that, that's, like, I didn't really talk to him that much. I don't think he talked to, like, outside of giving us stats, like, I don't think that he actually talked to anybody else about anything.
Okay.
It wasn't, apartment or hockey related, so I don't really have much.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are they approaching you about next year?
I haven't been approached. I think Bernie said that they're interested in having me next year. Obviously, I'd be interested in being there next year. But like I said, it's a business. Like, it's not up to me. If it were up to me, I'd already know where I'm going to be. But I don't.
Yeah.
Any rumors or speculation from coaches coming in?
Not that I heard of. I'm Mr. Guy out of the loop, so I'd probably be the second to last guy to know. The last guy to know would be Gordy.
Is he a guy that doesn't answer his phone?
He'll answer if I call.
So this summer,
what's your training going to look like?
It's gonna be a bagger. Right now I'm in the process of I work two jobs right now, but my second job is a sales job, and so I can make my own hours. So like after I go on a couple of sales calls, like I have like 3 hours, and I'll go run, and then I'll go bag myself at the gym, and then I have like ice like 2 to 3 times a week at like 5 in the morning.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
But,
by yourself?
Yeah, by myself largely. A lot of guys are on vacation or one of my buddies is actually recovering from a labrum surgery. So, like, yeah. I mean, I feel great, but a lot of my fellow ECHL teammates and friends aren't so much. Yeah.
So, do you do a lot of lifting? Do you do any,
boxing courses?
I don't do any boxing courses. I do a lot of lifting now, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of power lifting early in the season. And then when I get closer to the season, hot, heavy, I just still do a lot of lifting, but it's less.
More tone.
Yeah, more toning and making sure that, I don't like being too, I get too heavy after I get, too Terry Crews-ish. But after I stop doing heavy weights after I can make the pecs dance and then bikes for an hour.
So the end of July, August,
sun's out, guns out.
Right. That's funny.
How many days a week do you train?
Usually four to five. Depending on my schedule and how much driving I have to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, does your diet change?
Or are you a clean eater all year?
No, yeah, I make pretty much 3 out of 3 meals usually the night before. So usually I always know what I'm going to eat the next day. Tonight I'm going to have pork chops, asparagus, some sweet potatoes and some tortellini, I'm a clean, I do enjoy eating good, so that's the one thing I refuse to regret from.
That's good.
Yeah,
all right, man.
On the Night's Watch, because there's no black guys on Game of Thrones, and I would want to be a knight of some sort. So I would want to be the first all black crow for sure. I'd be nails for sure if I was a crow. Like, the White Walkers wouldn't have never stood a chance. I would have flooded that town in season 4. John was we should flood the tunnels. And I was like, yeah, we should flood the tunnels.
I want to spoil something so bad.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Well, I bring it up because I knew that there was gonna be that was a teaser for later. I'm an English. I have an English minor too. So writing and story structure is very awesome. I love Game of Thrones just because of the writing mostly.
Can you predict a lot?
Yeah, I do, and it sucks.
You need to tell your girl to get her shit together.
Yeah.
What character do you think is yet to die?
And will die. I've been thinking that either Grey Worm or Jorah is gonna die. For a while, I think simply because he got that grayscale stuff a while ago. I think writing wise, he's been doomed, and he's been friend zoned for mad long. And there's no way George is gonna allow him to just be friend zoned rewarded. This isn't a movie with Michael Cera and Emma Stone. There's no way the friend zone behavior is going to be rewarded in the long run. He's going to get sunned somehow.
Who will rule on the throne?
I hope it's Tyrion. I hope it's Tyrion, and I hope. I hope Brienne and what's his name and Cersei's brother hook up.
Okay.
And then Cersei snaps, and then her brother has to kill Cersei.
Oh, dude. You gotta watch.
You gotta watch this season.
Yeah. So you're, but you have, like, that's why I'm like clicking my pen right now because I'm like, I might just have to watch it right
you're
now.
Gonna
you're
to.
Gonna have to.
Just tell her.
Tell her.
You'll watch him again. But you gotta watch him.
Yeah, but you should have seen her face after I saw Endgame by myself.
Yeah.
She like went to work and she came back and it was like she goes, hey, so what'd you do while I was at work? I was like, oh, I saw Endgame. So, like, you saw Endgame? I was like, yeah, it was 4 hours. You were at work for five. So.
That's wild. All right, brother.
Unless there's anything else. No, nothing from my end.
Good set.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, thanks, Woody, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Best of luck this summer.
All right.
We hope to see you re-signed. I know there's no Marvel deal.
Yeah.
But hopefully you're back in Indy next year.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Very good. Well, enjoy the summer.
Yeah, well, you too, man.
All right, man.
All right, catching up.
Have a nice night.
See you, man.
See you.
All right, guys, that was Woody Hudson. What a beauty. Oh, my gosh, that guy's awesome. Thanks to our sponsors, All Black Hockey Sticks. I can't say enough good things about these guys. They were just here in Indy for Light the Lamp. You know, got to hang out with Larry and get some sticks moving. Guys, there's a lot of people that just picked up these sticks in Indianapolis. I'm not lying to you. Talk to one of them that just bought them. 100% carbon fiber, 440 grams, $89. Can't beat it. AllBlackHockeySticks.com. You can customize your stick, okay? I'm talking length, flex, lie, curve, all of it, okay? AllBlackHockeySticks.com. When you go to check out in the referred box, I need you to type in Hoosier Hockey Live, okay? That's going to put you into a drawing for an awesome prize here at the end of the month, courtesy of All Black Hockey Sticks and Hoosier Hockey Live, okay? Get your asses on All Black Hockey Sticks. I'm not kidding. They're the best sticks you'll swing, okay? Second, Sick Hockey. We talked about them earlier. Sick Threads. A great lifestyle choice when you're out with the boys or you're at the rink. I got the Chiefs shirt on tonight, repping Sick Hockey. So sickhockey.com, promo code Hoosier, 20% off the entire order. Thanks to Sean and his team for supporting Hoosier Hockey Live. Last, Zinc Metals, Indianapolis company, customized handcrafted fine jewelry. With Mother's Day upon us, you need to get your butts to that website and check it out. They've got awesome stuff. I'm trying to get something for my wife lined up. They do customized jewelry, fresh concepts. Thanks to Rebecca Zink and her team for supporting Hoosier Hockey Live. One more time, zinkmetals.com. Follow them on Instagram, Zinc Metals. They put up new pictures of artwork that she's done and things that are definitely for sale, and you guys are going to love it. One more time, zinkmetals.com. Thanks for supporting Hoosier Hockey Live. Guys, that's going to put a wrap on this episode. Next episode, it's going to be Tuesday, May 13th, with special guest from the Danville Dashers, well, formerly of the Danville Dashers, Mr. Brad Denny. You're not going to want to miss this one. He's a Fishers Indiana product, went to HSE, a good dude, won the B1 title this last weekend at Light the Lamp with Steiner Sports Training. A great guy, and we can't wait to talk to him, catch up with what he's doing now, and you guys are going to like that episode. So next Tuesday, the 13th, we're shooting for 6 p.m., so that'll be the next episode. Thanks one more time to Woody Hudson. What a guy. You know, someone that is adored around the rink and for good reason. He's a guy that loves the city, loves playing with passion, with heart, and that's why he's loved the way he is. So thanks one more time to Woody for coming on and making this a fun night. So, all right, guys, we'll sign off, and we'll see you guys next week. See ya.